foreclosures jumped a staggering 158%.
The market fell as if down a well.
Millions of jobless Americans are about to get kicked to the side of the road by corporate greed.
More and more homeowners in the crossfire.
People look upon Wall Street right now and they see record-breaking salaries. There's something wrong with this picture.
If you want to understand why this country is in the appalling shape that it's in, you know, many people look to the richest 1%.
Anger at the U.S. financial sector boiling over on Wall Street.
The Koch brothers are the poster boys for the top 1%. Their money, their power, fuel the growing inequality in America.
The Koch brothers are among the most powerful of the moneyed elites that are knocking down the working class, knocking down the middle class, stomping on poor people.
The Koch family has been defining the lives of ordinary working Americans under the radar for more than 50 years.
They inherited their wealth and their penchant for secrecy from their father, Fred, who made his fortune in the oil business in the Soviet Union of the 1930s.
Stalin himself brought Fred Koch into the Soviet Union, building pipelines, teaching them how to be oil engineers. Fred Koch came back to the United States after taking money from the Soviet Union and used that money to start his own oil empire here, amassing some $200 million.
With his wealth and power, he began to wage a systematic attack on American values, including funding the John Birch Society. It's a far-right, racist organization that saw communist conspiracies everywhere. They even accused then-President Dwight Eisenhower of being a Soviet spy.
Fred Koch wrote screeds against the civil rights movement, saying that it was communist-driven and that white children should not go to school with black children, that it would lead to the mongrelization of the races. This is the climate that the two brothers, Charles and David, grew up in at home. And then they inherited a big pile of money from Daddy Fred, and then they put that into their own organization and helped build it up to where it is now, a $100 billion a year enterprise.
Koch Industries is the second largest privately held corporation in the country. They have holdings that range from oil and gas to paper products, forestry, consumer goods, plastics, and ranching. They have operations in 45 states. The most important thing is not that they have wealth, it's that they're using their wealth to run roughshod over the American people.
Koch Industries is one of the top 10 polluters in the country, responsible for up to 300 oil spills. They paid over $100 million in fines and legal settlements, and a federal jury found that Koch Industries stole oil from American Indian lands, which their younger brother Bill blew the whistle on.
Koch Industries has a philosophy that profits are above everything else.
Twice a year, the Koch brothers invite powerful political figures and conservative billionaires to come in to secret summits. Attendees have included Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, and even congressional leaders like Eric Cantor.
Inside these meetings, they plan strategy and fundraising to promote their own bottom line and political goals. At a recent gathering in Aspen, Colorado, Charles Koch was recorded talking about the presidential election in 2012.
As I said, the mother of all battles coming up, and I pledge to all of you that we are absolutely going to invest this money wisely and get the best possible payout for you in the future of our country.
At these summits, the Koch brothers are effectively writing the script for the next five, the next 10 years in America. They know the smart way is to plot out over a long period of time, create a script, get smart people together who will follow it, who will promote it, and then down the line, you will find that everyone is reading from the script.
We'll be right back. What the Koch brothers want to do is destroy Social Security, because Social Security is a federal government program that has been enormously successful. The Koch brothers are funding think tanks and other organizations which are spreading an enormous amount of disinformation about Social Security. Raising the age of retirement is to ask people who are banging nails or waitresses or so many blue-collar jobs out there that you got to keep working until you're 70 years of age. That's just really unfair. Second of all, we want to give the younger generation an opportunity to get out into the workforce. The Koch brothers fund organizations, and you have economists and political scientists working there. And they are very, very good in getting on television.
Raising the retirement age.
I would increase the retirement age.
So you will probably have to increase the retirement age.
We're probably going to have to raise the retirement age.
And people will not know they represent an organization which is heavily funded by corporate interests. They are very effective in getting their positions out into the media.
Should Congress raise the retirement age?
If you raise the retirement age.
Well, raise the retirement age.
Let's consider the options. Let's raise the age. Raising the retirement age to 69.
At the same time, the Koch brothers are putting huge amounts of money into campaign contributions.
Very modest increases in the retirement age.
And eventually getting the retirement age to 70 is a step that needs to be taken.
The age on Social Security will have to go up.
So you have an echo chamber which starts repeating a lot of misinformation. The Koch brothers are funding study after study which suggests to people that Social Security is going bankrupt. Social Security is not going bankrupt. Social Security has a $2.6 trillion surplus.
The program is actuarially bankrupt.
Social Security and Medicare, they are going to go broke.
The real risk is Social Security running out of money.
Social Security going bankrupt.
Social Security already bankrupt.
Social Security is going bankrupt.
The system will be bankrupt.
Bankrupt federal programs like Social Security.
Social Security is going bankrupt.
Social Security is already going bankrupt.
The Koch brothers want to privatize Social Security to invest your retirement funds on Wall Street. And you may lose all of your retirement savings when you get old.
Real security is based on personal accounts with real assets.
I like the idea of personal accounts.
The option of investing one-third of their Social Security payroll taxes into personal retirement accounts.
The Koch brothers' job is to do everything they can to dismember government in general. And if you could destroy Social Security, you will have gone a long way forward in that effort.
The Koch brothers want government to almost not exist. And one of the ways they hope to effect this is with a group called Americans for Prosperity. Americans for Prosperity is essentially the boots on the ground for enforcing the agenda put forward by David Koch.
It's beyond my wildest dreams how AFP has grown.
When you go to an Americans for Prosperity rally, what you will see is a lot of regular-looking Americans, you know, protesting or demanding less government.
The government that governs best governs least.
Or eliminates regulation.
Hands off our health care.
But what you really got there is a front group for David Koch. And we know that the Koch brothers have put in at least $5 million, but that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. There's no way for us to know how much they've given because the Koch brothers have been incredibly secretive.
This is a phenomenal success in my judgment.
What you have is this organization that has chapters in 34 states. They hold rallies. They bus people into these rallies. And they hold politicians' feet to the fire on legislation they want to have passed.
Real the bill, global warming is a lie.
Not only do they force politicians to do what they want, but they also have a very strong libertarian agenda, which is against the Department of Education, against public education in general, and affects elections and policies at all levels of government, at congressional elections, our senatorial elections, all the way down to local school boards, as we've seen in North Carolina.
It's going to be a real shame for our kids.
Yeah, they're the losers.
And it's, yeah.
In terms of academic achievement, Wake County is a nationally recognized school system.
Because of the good schools here, the economy has actually boomed and prospered. Are they really trying to reverse all that we've accomplished in these last 30 years?
Big money is definitely trying to change people's lives here. The Koch brothers are fabulously wealthy billionaire oil barons.
Free enterprise, capitalism is alive and well.
It does appear that the conservative think tanks and foundations are eager to move back to an earlier time in terms of the way we run schools. And they're definitely pushing an agenda to resegregating the schools, but there's also a real push towards privatization.
The Koch brothers, of course, have a national libertarian agenda, and they have brought it to Wake County by means of the school board elections, and they want to destroy, really, the model of equal schools. Equal opportunity for every child.
It has also sparked this protest right in front of the Wake County School Administration building.
They do not like a large public school system, and they were determined to take it apart as quickly as they could.
The Wake County School Board threatens to turn back the clocks to an era of segregation. We must stand up and fight back.
We're on the record talking about the most significant local school board election since the 1970s.
Follow the money. You can see it. It's real. The connection between the Koch brothers and what happened here with the Wake County School Board could probably be best traced if you look at Americans for Prosperity.
My brother Charles and I provided the funds to start the Americans for Prosperity.
Americans for Prosperity. They were gunning for the diversity policy all along.
The future of the Wake County school system is on the line.
In just a few weeks, four of those school board seats are up for grabs.
The Koch brothers didn't put money directly into the Wake school board elections, but indirectly, Americans for Prosperity helped the school board candidates on their agenda.
It's beyond my wildest dreams how AFP has grown.
It was the Americans for Prosperity and the Koch brothers. They were like in the Wizard of Oz, the Oz behind the scene, pulling levers and making things happen. I really had no idea.
We worked so hard running for school board.
Oh, yeah.
And to know that our opponents were backed by these billionaires.
For me, my opponent, we had forums and debates, and she really pitched forced busing.
The school board crossed the line with forced busing.
Forced busing is absolutely a code word. It's a term, busing, used in the South by George Wallace.
Segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
The voters in Wake County and North Carolina have rejected a forced busing policy.
We are winning the battle against
my opponent, he just mainly talked about, he stressed neighborhood schools.
Neighborhood schools, neighborhood schools, neighborhood schools.
Neighborhood schools means we have our own schools and the blacks have theirs.
We heard loud and clear across this county, people wanted to go to a neighborhood schools model.
We should have our right to choose our own neighborhood, our own neighborhood schools.
He didn't talk about student achievement and helping all our schools get better.
There are always ways to improve the education of our students.
We went to a gunfight with knives.
The heated race is over.
Justice!
What do we want now?
And don't make any mistake about it. Your plan that you're putting forth today will resegregate the schools.
We had no idea what the stakes were.
In one election, they now have the majority needed to change the way students are assigned to school.
A big shakeup on the Wake County School Board could now impact tens of thousands of local families.
People have not really taken the time to listen to the students who are actually in these programs.
We met before sixth grade and we were in the dance ensemble together.
We consider each other twin sisters.
If it hadn't been for the diverse school system, I don't think we really would have had a chance to become such close friends.
This pretty much describes my education since kindergarten. This is diversity. When you walk in our classroom and you see the different types of students and the different people, this picture really does represent what it actually is.
Moses, come on, it's time to get up. Let's get started. Robert, let's go.
Y'all come on and let's go. We got to get ready. We want to make sure that they get the best education that public money can buy.
Well, oh, there you go. One down.
With that idea, we've been able to make sure that they are receiving advanced classes.
The school board has started the process of phasing out the busing for diversity policy.
They're moving so quickly with what they want to do.
We're not going anywhere.
It happens so fast, and they're going to continue. The more they have in power, they're going to change the rules, the laws, whatever they can.
I think you'll find that the student voice has kind of been lost through this whole process.
Let's go.
The Koch brothers and America for prosperity and that ideology is very simple. What they're actually trying to do is dismantle the whole public school system.
If this policy goes through, the schools will become segregated.
I don't believe the courses, they will not have opportunities to take the advanced courses. That's critical that they have opportunities, resources, so that they can become a productive citizen.
There would be enormous impacts on the schools, especially in the urban parts of the county. So you'd have an enormous concentration of poverty in that school. And with it comes all the related social problems. People aren't going to want to teach at that school, and suddenly education in that school is going to suffer.
It worries me about my sons because we had a game plan. We did not think we were going to have to change.
Do you have your agenda so you can see what your assignment is?
If we don't get ready, it's going to be even rougher, nastier than what it is.
I am a part of the first group of students moved. I strongly feel that it's racism. I strongly feel that it's segregation. And it was all by surprise. All on short notice. I've lost my communication with the teachers, relationships with the students. I'm just disconnected right now. The school board's decision to do segregation has really made it difficult for students like me to adjust and kind of grow.
What happened here really woke people up.
Battle lines are drawn for the issue of diversity in the Wake County schools.
There was a tremendous outcry over what the school board was doing and tremendous resistance to moving backwards.
People got really riled up and pushed back hard.
Education is under attack!
There were enormous protests at the school board meetings.
We say no to Jim Crow!
People were arrested.
We're heading down a rabbit hole, and we're getting so far down that rabbit hole, there's not going to be a way to get out of it.
The local NAACP filed a civil rights complaint with the federal government.
Fight we will for the future of our children.
They also filed a complaint with the accreditation agency.
Backwards never, forwards never.
We don't want to be left out of this decision because we're the ones going to school.
Breaking news on this election night in the Triangle, a shift in power for the Wake County School Board.
A shift in the balance of power, the conservative majority no more.
We're likely going to see a lot of changes.
Big changes. The conservative takeover is over.
This election was a rejection of the brand of politics that the Koch brothers stand for.
The celebration continues.
to the Koch brothers, why don't you just leave? Leave us alone so that we can continue to grow and prosper. Leave our children alone.
We have seen the influence of the Koch brothers' money grip the minds of a younger generation, and now we're seeing that money flow into institutions of higher learning, into universities. Universities are the havens of academic freedom, of integrity of thought, of integrity of research, and that is part of the Enlightenment tradition of this country and part of our democracy. And the Koch brothers come with extremist ideology, and what they're essentially doing is buying up departments, faculty, bringing their curriculum and ideology into classrooms, and thereby buying up the minds of the next generation.
The Koch brothers have been very clever at designing their grant agreements with universities in such a way that they will exercise maximal control and influence on campus. Many of these grants come with very significant strings attached. They have very clear stipulations that give the Koch brothers excessive control over various aspects of the university's internal affairs.
A school that I take so much pride in and that I believe in had effectively sold its soul to the Koch brothers for a few million dollars.
They're helping setting up a pattern where universities are expected to give up their values in exchange for money. Programs that they start tend to be one point of view only.
They now have financial agreements with over 150 colleges and universities.
They've spent tens of millions of dollars to get their point of view instilled in classrooms, amongst faculty members, and in students.
The size and scope of these deals is quite significant.
Thousands of students pass through those programs every year, and in over time, hundreds of thousands of students are directly exposed to Koch brothers' ideology and political points of view. The university signs a contract that says they will hire someone who shares the point of view of the Koch brothers.
They have an immense amount of influence over who those professors are and what they teach and what they publish and what research they do and what they say in the classroom.
We depend on universities to provide a kind of knowledge that is not owned or bought or sold.
Since the Renaissance, we've had academics who do research independently, and we learn as a society from them. What the Koch brothers have done is strip that segment of society in a way so as to promote their own ideological agenda.
This is a major threat to the country, not just to the educational system or to the students or to the faculty. This is a major threat to our way of life. They are trying to use their money to influence the flow of American democracy.
We've built a political process in America where money is an extraordinarily important driver of policy. So the Koch brothers have an extraordinary influence just because of their willingness to spend the amount of money they're willing to spend in both contributions and directed independent expenditures and in events that facilitate, quote, understanding around their issues. The Koch brothers obviously have very strong interest in minimizing the extent of environmental regulation. And so they have a very strong interest in influencing members of committees who oversee environmental regulation.
We will get rid of onerous regulations.
Then that deregulation is just allowing them to get something for nothing. They get to use our environments without paying the cost of using our environments.
Stopping this regulation is the way to make sure that agencies realize they can't overreach.
They've recognized that policymaking is cheap, and the return on investments in policymaking is high.
To regulate CO2 under the Clean Air Act is wrong and should not be allowed to stand.
And politicians, it turns out, are willing to sell policy at a very low rate.
from the Koch brothers' point of view, you buy yourself a Congress that has single-handedly tried to eviscerate and gut environmental regulation across the board.
The Koch brothers have decided to try to use their enormous wealth to influence public policy in a way that benefits them, but doesn't necessarily benefit the public.
The Koch brothers, they don't want to have to comply with environmental regulation to protect public health. This bill would make sure that the EPA did not regulate greenhouse gas emissions, and that, of course, protects a dirty industry like Koch brothers.
The philosophy of much of what the Koch brothers pushes in general emphasizes deregulation. When the deregulation is about removing environmental protection around industries that the Koch brothers promote.
If you look at now the House Energy and Commerce Committee, the Koch Industries is the single largest oil and gas contributor to that committee.
Let's rename the bill the Koch Brothers Appreciation Act of 2011.
I just thought if we were going to be honest about it, let's give credit where credit is due to the Koch brothers. Given the fact that that bill was authored by Fred Upton, one of the largest recipients of Koch contributions, little surprise then that he introduces legislation essentially to eviscerate environmental regulation.
The objective of the Koch brothers industry is to make it so that they get to produce without paying the costs of their production. And that's what the restrictions in environmental regulations increasingly are trying to do. Give them a chance to get something for nothing.
The Koch brothers are doing everything they can through the political system to distort and prevent the EPA from doing its job and protecting the public.
So the losers in environmental regulation are all of us.
That's a stunning development in American politics for years to come.
The Koch political machine doesn't only buy influence in Congress, it also extends into state capitals across the country.
What is happening in Wisconsin is a kind of laboratory for the Koch brothers.
It's crystal clear. This was all about destroying unions and going after wage earners.
Governor Walker, he's really the puppet of the Koch brothers.
Wisconsin was a test case for the Koch brothers because that's where they concentrated a great deal of their resources. They've financed Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin, local think tanks, and, of course, candidates like Scott Walker. The Koch brothers are targeting unions because they don't want to pay higher wages to their own workers. Several Koch political deputies met with Scott Walker shortly after the November elections and urged him to take on public sector unions, to attack collective bargaining as one of his top priorities. A lot of the money came from Koch organizations, particularly Americans for Prosperity. Politicians, whenever they make a big decision like this and they face a lot of heat, they need political cover, and that's what Koch gave him. Koch's political organizations, like Americans for Prosperity, started running attack ads against the protesters.
Who decides Wisconsin's future, voters or government unions?
They were also sponsoring a bus tour all over Wisconsin, holding rallies saying, "Thank you, Governor Walker, for crushing the unions." So they played a very convenient role for Walker. Not only were they big campaign contributors, but they had this multifaceted political strategy to promote what he was doing against the labor unions. In the midst of this battle between the protesters and Scott Walker, a blogger thought it would be an interesting idea to call Governor Walker and pretend to be David Koch.
I decided to pose as David Koch because he seemed like the obvious union-busting billionaire that could get through to Scott Walker. I was in absolute shock. Just hearing him how thrilled he was to talk to David Koch, all it took is a couple beautifuls, beautiful.
Scott, David Koch, how are you?
Hey, David.
A little disheartened by the situation there, but what's the latest?
We're actually hanging pretty tough.
Beautiful, beautiful. Gotta crush that union.
It didn't take much to get him to talk. The guy just rambled and rambled.
I told my cabinet in Wisconsin's history, this is our moment.
He just comes at me like he's sucking up to his boss.
This is our time to change the course of history.
I just thought the voice was kind of a generic, older, rich, terrible person.
Put a baseball bat. That's what I
do. I have one in my office. You'll be happy with that. I got a slugger with my name on it.
Once you crush these bastards, I'll fly out to Cali and show you a good time.
All right, that would be outstanding.
I think it may have opened people's eyes across the country just to this idea that politicians often don't represent people, they represent people with money.
In the end, Scott Walker's union stripping bill was passed, but there's a high political cost. Two state senators who supported the bill lost their seats in a recall election. And 1 million signatures were gathered to recall Governor Scott Walker himself.
Recall Walker!
Recall Walker!
It was one of the biggest recall efforts the country has ever seen.
Recall Walker!
This is the headline that I woke up to.
The whole story of the Walker power grab against the unions shows that people can fight back against the influence of powerful interests like the Koch brothers. The Koch political network is very savvy. Not only do they focus on short-term policy prerogatives, but there's another area they've tried to cripple the political opposition, and that's in the realm of voting rights.
The Koch brothers already have great influence. Now they're seeking to have even greater influence on people's access to the ballot box itself. So when you ask yourself, why is this happening? Why are they coming after the right to vote? Why are they doing something so fundamentally anti-democratic? You have to follow the money.
I have multiple sclerosis, not able to walk. My Missouri ID is currently expired now, and for me to get all the documents that I need for my current ID is a big struggle.
I would have considerable difficulty getting a state-issued ID because there is a glitch on my birth certificate. I did register almost immediately upon my 21st birthday. That was 59 years ago. I have voted in every single election since then, and I would like to continue voting. I think it's my right.
As somebody who lives in a dorm at college, we do not have any proof of our current address on campus, and I think that the Koch brothers are pushing these voter ID laws to try to quash the impacts that young people can have on their local politics.
In order to get a Texas identification, you must be a Texas resident, and if I file for Texas residency, then that would throw off all the money that I'm getting in grants. We are a democracy, and voting should not be bought by the Koch brothers.
We have recently seen an ambush of voter registration and voter ID restrictions in states across the country.
Voters will now be required to show an ID at the poll.
A suppression tactic to undermine the right to vote.
The impact will be felt most heavily among the poor, the elderly, minorities.
They hit students extra hard.
A push to make it as difficult as possible to vote.
It disenfranchises a whole sector of the American electorate.
We're in a moment right now where we're seeing the most aggressive attempt to roll back voting rights in this country that we've seen in over a century.
The people most impacted by these new voter suppression tactics are African Americans, Latinos, elderly, young voters, and those with disabilities. The Koch brothers are behind these kinds of laws because they want to cut off the participation of people who are not behind their corporate agenda.
The American Legislative Exchange Council is called ALEC. It really is an exchange between corporations and politicians who both vote on legislation to rewrite our rights.
ALEC put forth a template for voter ID restrictions and pushed that through to the states so that state legislators would pick it up and pass it. We see these laws being passed that make it harder for Americans to vote, to participate, to have a voice, and to have power.
Koch Industries has had a seat on ALEC's corporate board. both the company and foundations that are associated with Charles Koch have made substantial donations to ALEC.
Folks like the Koch brothers are attempting to ensure that as few people of color and as few young people show up as possible.
Protecting the integrity of each and every vote cast in the state certainly is worthy of a simple requirement that we show photo identification as defined under this bill.
I pledge to reform state government, and this voter ID bill will help us achieve that goal.
We instituted a photo ID requirement for every voter.
These voter suppression laws are turning our country backwards.
It's me versus billionaires. And now it's the Koch brothers and ALEC who get to decide that this is not a valid form of ID.
I do think that this is an opportunity for people to take away people that are disabled with their voting rights.
The reason that you target somebody's voting rights is it makes it easier to take away the rest of their rights. You come for that first, and the whole house of cards starts to fall.
Voting is my right, guaranteed to me by my government, and I'm furious that it might be taken away.
The reason that the Koch brothers want to control our democracy is that their life's work, pouring carbon into the atmosphere, is the act of an outlaw, really.
The Koch brothers are big oil personified, and they're carbon barons. They make most of their money running pipelines around the continent. This proposed Keystone Pipeline is a 1,700-mile fuse to the biggest carbon bomb on the continent.
It is going to take the dirtiest energy, the so-called tar sands, and bring them down the United States.
The Koch brothers, they'll have access to this unbelievable pool of carbon and hence money. There are trillions of dollars worth of oil up there.
Any spill means that the dirtiest, nastiest fuel on Earth will be poured all over our country.
Over 10,000 protesters surrounded the White House Sunday, calling on President Obama to reject the proposed Keystone XL tar sands oil pipeline.
And we say tar sands, you say shut down, tar sands!
Shut down!
Tar sands!
Shut down!
We're never going to have enough money to compete with the Koch brothers. We're going to have to find other currencies to use. And sometimes it's our bodies. Over 2 weeks in Washington, 1,253 people got arrested. That was the largest civil disobedience action in about 30 years in this country. I myself was arrested on the first day of this protest and spent the next 3 days in Central Cell Block in D.C.
We played the game as hard as we could, making it clear to President Obama that there were people all over the country really deeply concerned about this. And in the end, that was enough to outweigh the financial power of the Koch brothers and the rest of the oil industry.
President Obama making an unexpected decision on the Keystone oil pipeline.
The president announcing yesterday they were going to hold off on a final decision for at least a year.
It is a victory against the fossil fuel industry and people like the Koch brothers. People can, if they stand up and make enough protest, change the rules of the game.
The thing about it, when you've got a big, dirty energy company like the Koch brothers have, they've got to do whatever they can to protect their profits, even if that means keeping us from moving over to clean energy, even if that means making sure we got lots of smog and lots of asthma and lots of cancer. They don't care. The Koch brothers pollute the communities where people are trying to fight back. People are trying to stand up for what's right, but the Koch brothers are doing everything they can to beat those communities down so they can keep making the same amount of money doing the same old dirty business.
Something is wrong on this street, Penn Road, where I live. Something is wrong here in this community.
It's killing people. Just like he killed my daughter.
I live on Penn Road. People call me Mr. Bowie because I'm a minister. I pastor a church for 22 years in this area. I'm a reserve deputy sheriff, and I'm a senior citizen. This house is Mr. Walfield Gibbs. His wife, Bobby Sue Gibbs, passed away with multiple cancers a few years ago.
I have to do this 3 to 4 times a day.
This house here belongs to Mr. George Parker and it's Miss Ollie Parker. Both of them was taken out by cancer.
My husband died of lung cancer, and I am having breathing problems.
Mr. Tom Perkins and his wife, they live here. Mr. Tom Perkins is deceased now. He had multiple cancers.
We have 15 homes in this area, and maybe 11 people has died or more with cancer, and that's unreal.
What's going on here is a crime.
Just a waste.
My daughter Letitia died at 43. She grew up in the neighborhood. She had a husband, a devoted husband. She had children that she really and truly loved. And I think that she died too young. She was a non-smoker. She was not a drinker. And she got lung cancer. And you know, you'll wonder where did it come from?
These people are sick. They're dying.
This is inexcusable.
That's murderous.
Great. Good to see you again.
When I met Mr. Bowie, I could not believe what was going on in this neighborhood.
I think it has to do with our environment, what we smell, what we inhale. We were deer hunting in the back, and we noticed that there was such a strong, strong odor back there.
The smell was so strong and so bad. It was awful.
I started noticing in my river the sheets of black coming downstream. The color's different. The smell is different. The whole river is different.
It's rough. Whatever's in it is killing these trees.
They have cut this huge channel, and it's like an open sewer line.
This is where the smell is coming from. You can see the steam coming from the stuff. And at times it gets so bad, it's like a big cloud. And it gets up in the warm air, and it flows right over the trees where our property is.
It is our mission to find out what it is, who's behind it, and how to stop it.
It causes the throat to be sore, eyes to hurt, nose, and it's hard to breathe in.
The first time that I came here, I saw the color of the water. It was like an epiphany. This right here is private property, but if you could follow it in a straight line, you would be at Georgia Pacific's plant owned by Koch Industries.
It's pitiful that Koch allowed this kind of a stuff to be dumped in the wide open like this.
Once I saw this, I knew Koch Industries were the culprits. They know that these people are sick.
Koch Industries, Georgia Pacific, they employ thousands of people here in Crossett. And it's hard to come up against a company that employs so many people.
The neighborhood of Penn Row is at ground zero. Right through these woods are these ditches carrying these various types of pollutions from the Georgia Pacific plant.
And that industrial process includes the use and discharges to the air and into the water of a lot of nasty chemicals. The Georgia Pacific complex in West Crossett releases millions of gallons a day of wastewater into a whole series of ditches. One might characterize these exposures as a ticking time bomb to the people's health that are breathing the air that's flowing from these open ditches.
It's such a hard battle that these people have here. They don't have money, and their state representatives are all influenced by the Koch brothers and this whole system they have put together to be able to do whatever they want to.
The Senate will come to order.
Koch brothers' direct contributions has been an investment well worth it. It's certainly a lot less expensive than actually having to retrofit factories.
The EPA will have doors locked and the lights turned off.
Koch Industries not only manipulates the political process, but more importantly to me, is they manipulate the public into believing that the EPA is killing jobs.
The EPA is intent on taking matters into their own hands, which will result in a bleeding of jobs.
It is a problem when politicians are calling EPA and saying, leave them alone, rather than calling them and saying, do your job and clean it up.
Workers in my state don't want to see the lost jobs,
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 jobs
that EPA's big government takeover would bring.
Koch is using natural streams to transport waste, and this is not allowed by the Clean Water Act.
and they can do it because EPA lets them do it.
Koch Industries are repeat offenders of environmental crimes.
Koch Industries is one of the primary sources of pollution in the United States.
They have a history of serious and even criminal pollution problems.
Koch Industries subsidiaries have paid millions in environmental fines.
The Koch brothers are trying to stop the government from limiting greenhouse gas emissions.
Government regulators have fined Koch Industries and its subsidiaries tens of millions for oil spills and pollution over the years.
In 2000, a federal grand jury returned a 97-count indictment against Koch Industries in Corpus Christi, Texas. They were charged not only with emitting more benzene than they were allowed to, they tried to cover it up.
Benzene is a known human carcinogen. People that are breathing benzene have increased risk of developing cancer. That's known. It's not suspected. It is known.
But the Bush administration worked with Koch to come up with a plea bargain. So it went from 97-count indictment to one count, the potential of $350 million to just $20 million fine. As an environmental criminologist, watching this case evolve makes me sick. They know they can get away with it. They'll just wait and be fined if they ever get caught, which in most cases they won't ever be caught because the EPA is understaffed and underfunded.
The Koch brothers care more for the income than they do their neighbors, and people are constantly dying.
It's just called cheap and not caring about people or rivers or the environment or anyone but their bottom line.
David Koch, he can stop this, just as he donates millions of dollars to try to find a cure for cancer.
It began 16 years ago when I discovered that I had prostate cancer and that I had not long to live.
What kind of man is David if he has cancer and put all his money into research and then he's dumping in our backyard?
Today, my cancer is very much under control. And my doctor advises me that I have many more years to live.
He was able to buy good medicine, to see the best doctors.
The fact that this magnificent research facility has been named after me is probably the greatest honor I've ever been awarded.
With David Koch knowing that he has been right there where we, the people of this community, are now. And when you look around you and see people dying every day, then that's shocking to us.
I've lived here for 39 years. My husband died of lung cancer, and I am having breathing problems, and I feel that I might eventually have a lung problem.
The Koch brothers, I'm reaching out, hoping and asking them to fix this problem, because we need help here.
In the Old West, they called it being outgunned. They're outgunned by the Koch brothers. So I feel like their only hope is to make people realize what's happening here.
If I could talk to Koch brother face to face, I just really believe I'm dying now. You know, just a slow death, what it is.
The Koch brothers are killing me and my family.
I feel that George Pacific and Koch is responsible for my daughter's death.
This is inexcusable, and something's got to be done about it.
People in this country have experienced the impact of the Koch brothers working their will, taking over our government, and using that power against the common good.
We are the 99%.
It shows they've been outed. And could change the game.
Stop the Koch brothers!
This is a battle of wills. It's a battle between the Koch brothers and people. People can beat money, but only if we decide to link up and to organize.
And exposing the Koch brothers is the possibility to rebuild an alternative society.
Once we expose Koch brothers, that unlocks the door.
We need to pay attention to what the Koch brothers
are. Bad enough
we
need
to care about the Koch brothers
in terms of what they're doing to our planet. We should have.
We're not going to be fooled anymore.
Welcome to Koch Industries. How may I direct your call?
Hi, may I speak to Charles or David Koch?
David Koch, please.
Charles or David Koch, please.
David Koch.
David Koch.
Charles Koch.
Charles or David Koch.
He's not available. Can I take a message?
Yes, this is Robert Greenwald calling. I had some questions we wanted to ask him.
The best I can do is take a message for him.
Please leave a message after the tone.
We'd just like to see if perhaps you might be available to schedule a time to view our latest documentary about you and your brother.
To leave a message in the general mailbox, stay on the line.
We just finished a documentary about you, and we would like to give you an opportunity to respond.
You know, I can connect you with his assistant.
Okay, thank you.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, Charles Koch and or David Koch. This is Daniel Jonesfield from Brave New Films.
We'd love for you to watch our documentary and give us your response.
Make comments on it.
Speak up and give your perspective and your point of view.
We're going to go public next week, and I want him to really have a chance to talk to us.
Why are you spending so many millions of dollars trying to destroy Social Security?
Why you are trying to suppress the voting rights of American citizens?
I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on your strings-attached funding to higher education institutions.
I'm really, really concerned about the resegregation efforts that are happening.
How Koch Industries factory in Arkansas has been polluting a community and causing cancer there.
What do you have to say about this and how it's affecting this community?
And why they support the American Legislative Exchange Council in stripping away our voting rights.
To know about their views on Social Security.
Can you hold for just a moment?
Sure.
Please continue to hold for the next operator. Thank you for continuing to hold. All operators are currently busy. Thank you for continuing to
I was on hold for a while, and I'm calling back.
Okay, all right, just one moment, please. Please leave a message after the tone.
We're also pretty curious as to how someone who is a cancer survivor himself can be dumping carcinogens behind homes.
And I look forward to talking with them.
We would really love to hear from you.
Thank you very much. Look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.